Everybody knows.
We're spinning our wheels like a big mud truck.
Bro, my nervous system can't take that.
Why are y'all doing that?
I scraped up $600 and I bought this car. This was the perfect drive-in movie car. It had dead body trunk in it. You could put like 8 people in the trunk and shut it easily.
Welcome to the Within Your Shot Podcast, bringing you closer to the world being better.
Welcome to the Within Earshot Podcast. Today, we are talking about some really cool stuff, some wormhole-type material, and I am very excited for this kind of stuff. It's cool to talk about. It's fun to talk about. The question is how far down the wormhole do you really want to get into? And we're only going to go so far right now.
We don't want to get lost. You can get really lost down
there. You get lost.
I might have done that already.
Yeah, you kind of forget who you are and what reality is and yeah, that whole deal. We would love to hear some stuff. We'd love to hear some comments about this. I know you're listening. I can hear it. I can see it. I can see the numbers. I know you're listening. I want to hear your voices. Give me just a comment on Facebook. There's a lot of y'all on Facebook, by the way.
You can even call us crazy if you want to, but you guys are crazy.
Don't give a crap
what are you talking
about? Call us
right now?
Stupid. Like, this is ridiculous. This podcast sucks. We'll take that. We don't care. We'll try to improve so we don't have to get many of those. But
I might care a little bit. I might hurt my feelings just a little bit there. I don't know.
I mean, you know, if somebody's listening and they want to be funny, then that'll be interesting to see what happens. But today's topic is about end times, like mass hysteria. Exploring the phenomenon of apocalyptic events.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, I can hear it in y'all's reaction. I can see you right now. You're like, ooh, this might be a pretty good one. So to kind of get started, we are without Kyle again. Let us know what y'all think about that. We'd like to hear if that bums you out. Or not, because it kind of bums us out. We like having him around. That's kind of, we started the podcast with us three, and we don't like it when us three are not able to do it. You know, it's not cool.
We're thinking of you, Kyle. Drive that truck hardcore, man.
Yeah. Toot toot.
I don't think his truck goes toot toot, man. He drives like a little Tonka truck around.
Sounds like very toot toot. Thomas the Train esque. You know what I mean? Yeah, sorry about that, Kyle.
There it is. There we go. He's going to be like, I'm turning that podcast off now. He's not even going to listen to it now.
Yeah, maybe so. But we want to give a shout out to Raymond, who is our first subscriber. We're very, very thankful for you, my friend. You are the man. And we just want everybody to know that Raymond has decided to become a part of the Within Earshot support team. We're very grateful.
Thank you, Raymond. You the man.
So as we get into the initial question here of the topic, end times, mass hysteria. When I say mass hysteria, it takes me to Ghostbusters 1 when they're talking to the mayor. And they're like, mass hysteria, cats and dogs. You know, what else was he say? It's Bill Murray's character.
Yep. I would probably can't play
mass
that.
Hysteria. I guess we could. Well, we probably couldn't play that, but
yeah.
Anywho,
that might get us in trouble. But hey, you know what? After the events of Ghostbusters, man, they all like everybody just pushed that under the rug like it never even happened.
That's true.
If you watch the newer movies, like people don't even know that it existed. There's like random YouTube videos of like the events, but nobody even knows that ghosts were in New York. It's like this cover up.
It is a cover up, man. Let us know if you've seen Ghostbusters 1 and what you think about it. What do you think about the new Ghostbusters stuff? You know, do you think it's as good as the original?
Well, I haven't seen the new one yet, but I watched Afterlife, and man,
it was pretty good.
Really nice when the old school Ghostbusters come back.
It was pretty good.
I had a little tear to my eye when Bill Murray showed up. I'm like, what? That's so cool.
So that's Afterlife. That's the newest one.
That's the one that came out a few years ago. The new one,
that came out,
is Frozen Empire.
Was it Venkman is Peter Bill Murray's character, excuse me. But who was
It was Egon's family.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his grandkids were the main characters of that.
Okay, I have seen that.
And then
that
like
one.
Paul Rudd's in there and stuff.
It's very good.
Yep.
It's very good.
And the sequel I heard was really good too. I just haven't gotten to see that
one. We haven't either. We want to see that one.
But I heard it's good. Ghostbusters goodness. You can't go wrong with that.
No, no, it's very good, especially when they pay homage to the classics.
Oh yeah.
So let's get into the first topic question of what do I want to say? Question. My brain just fucking goes dead. Let's get into the first area of discussion today, and what draws people to apocalyptic events like eclipses and doomsday prophecies. That's kind of what we're going to kind of dive into for a second here. And it's a great question. Many of you probably seen the eclipse. It was definitely an event. There was tons of people doing their thing, traveling. You know, if you were one that did travel and probably purchased a hotel, you totally experiencing the price gouging that was going on. and if you did get a hotel, let us know how much you paid for that overpriced room or an Airbnb.
It was probably unpleasant. I feel people were taking advantage of a lot of things everywhere.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people. I mean, I went downtown Paducah to watch. I'm like, I didn't see hardly anybody I knew at all. I'm like, there's a whole lot of out-of-town people. Where are the people from Paducah? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were smarter than I was and did not go downtown because there were lots and lots of people. But it was well worth it. I was sitting right there on the Ohio River to watch the eclipse.
Cool.
It was super nice.
I mean, it's a big event. I mean, it was something to definitely pay attention to. But
yeah, I mean, we had one happen, was it 7 years ago?
Yeah.
And then this one here, and we're pretty much done and for a long time.
Until 2040
something
like that.
Yeah. And that's nowhere near us. We have to like drive like past Arkansas, I think, to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little ways away. Oh, I saw something like it's going to be going right over Orlando. People are going to pay like crazy to go to Disney to watch the eclipse in that time.
For sure.
It's going to be insane.
No question.
Like, it's going to be $5,000 a room to be able to stay and watch.
What was the movie, the alien movie with Will Smith?
Like Men in Black?
No, it was God bless. Remember the guy that played Lone Star in Spaceballs?
Yeah. Oh, Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Bill Pullman.
I couldn't think of the name
Day.
Of
it. Yeah.
You know where they're on the roof partying and they're like waiting for this thing to come down.
Oh, yeah, the guy sounds like, abduct me now.
Yeah.
And then they just blow it up.
Freaking destroys them.
Fire laser beam of death blowing up the whole city.
That's the kind of like vibe I got from like, the eclipse with a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
They were just, let's make it a party, man. Let's make this event, man. I'm like,
I mean, I enjoyed it as a science teacher and my child loving science. We totally dug the whole science feel
awesome.
Of this, right? I mean, it's a great thing.
It was so cool.
I mean, it was a sensational couple of minutes. But
it was.
It was just a couple of minutes there.
It was very cool to watch everything go dark and look at your watch and like, oh, it's 2:02.
Yeah, and like everybody got silent. I mean, there were like hundreds of people on the riverfront, maybe even thousands of people. And like silence and like the temperature just plummeted.
Yes.
I mean, it went down probably 20 degrees and I was like, whoa. And since we were by the river, I mean, it felt like it got really cold really fast. It was
yeah,
so good.
For sure. When stuff like that happens, man, it makes me think how important the sun is.
Yeah. Just imagine that was a couple minutes without the sun.
Yeah. We're in trouble.
Like, so that's what happens like when the meteor hit and the dinosaurs are like, well, the meteor killed the dinosaurs. Like, it was all that ash hanging out in the sky, blocking out the sun.
That's right.
Everything froze over.
So to kind of get back into the first initial deal here, the first initial topic or the first initial sub, I don't even know what to call it.
Man, talking about the craziness of the eclipse, man.
We're talking about
the eclipse brought people crazy, man. And
it did.
You know, that's like the whole idea of this is we enjoyed it. A lot of people just enjoyed it, but a lot of other people took it to extremes and were like, the eclipse is bringing about the end of the world. The world is going to end. I'm like, everybody 7 years ago the world did not end because of the eclipse.
Yeah, remember, we did this just a little while ago.
It was not that far ago. Like, literally in Paducah, Kentucky, we went through this. It happened. It's a really cool event, but obviously lots of people jump on bandwagons and, you know, they love to say crazy things can happen. So you got the conspiracy theorists that bring up all of the, like, the end of the world type of things. Aliens are going to come. I even heard this one person who thought that we could get superpowers from the eclipse. I'm like,
I've heard it all, I think.
Well, geez, that would be millions of people getting superpowers. And it didn't happen to me 7 years ago. And that was a much longer eclipse. So, yeah. I mean, if these 2 minutes are going to give me some superpowers, that would be stupendous. Be awesome. I would love it. I've been testing lots of things. I cannot fly.
Yeah.
Not bulletproof. I didn't want to test that one particularly, but I poked myself with a pin and it hurt.
Can't read people's minds. No, you know, no x-ray vision.
Yep. So nothing cool happened there.
You know, I think what people get attracted to that kind of stuff is, I think it's a combination of stuff. You know, it's not just one thing. I think there is definitely curiosity. It's maybe a desire for a sense of meaning or purpose, a significance in their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would suck to think that something's going to happen that day and you think, and it doesn't happen. Or TikTok is just a terrible avenue to get wrapped up in stuff like that. But I think there's fear of the unknown. I think that, you know, that kind of draws people in. We seem to be drawn into things that kind of scare us, or the unknown, the possibility, the what ifs of life. I think they tap into like this deep seated cultural, psychological fear, kind of offering maybe a narrative of impending doom that can be both terrifying and compelling at the same time. I think the same feeling and desire is what draws us in to watch scary movies.
Oh yeah,
or sci-fi movies. You know, the there's the kind of a wonder and awe to it. Yeah.
How many movies have I seen in the history of all the nerdy movies I've watched? Has the sun been blotted out in some scary movie, and then bad things happen? Aliens come, some massive storm happens, but you just see all the people, and you just see the shadow just overcome everyone.
Yeah,
that's what happened a couple days ago.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it was the middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a bright sunshiny day when the clouds finally went away. And for a brief period of time when the sun was supposed to be out, it was gone. And just that event happening, it does. It brings about this feeling of awe because it's not something that we have that happens very often.
It's true. And I mean, it's okay to make it an event. I kind of downplayed that as if it, you know, you're some kind of bad person if you made it an event. But, you know, if you were off work, if you're able to take off work, or if you took off work to do that, then that's cool. Good for you. For me, I was not off work. I did get out and did experience the entire eclipse from start to finish. Like, not just when it was blacked out, but from the start of it, we didn't have a very busy day that day at all. But after it was over, you heard the words, "Back to work."
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it would be nice to go out to eat or just chill at home, you know, grill some food, chill out.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you think about this? What do you think draws people to apocalyptic events, man?
I really think it's that unknown feeling of not knowing what is going on. I looked up, like, in the history of the world, events that would happen related to eclipses. And there are lots of examples of what cultures would do when an eclipse happened. Like in China, up to 4,000 years ago, people would bang drums and yell to drive off an invisible dragon as it was trying to eat the sun. That's what they believed was happening during a solar eclipse. The Inca believed that it was a sign that the all-powerful sun god Inti was very, very mad, and that a human sacrifice was called for because of the eclipse happening.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not something you would want to do.
I wonder how they picked that person.
Oh, man. That'd be the worst drawing straws
ever. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Be like, don't want to be long straw, don't want to be short straw. Right in the middle. Come on, right in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's hardcore right there. But, I mean, that was their belief for whenever it happened. Eskimos would cover themselves and all their valuables during an eclipse because they believed that the sun and the moon were actually diseased at that time, so they were trying to keep the disease away from themselves. Mm. So this isn't a new thing
right.
for us. So people believing that aliens are doing something or we're getting superpowers, it's just, I believe it's a lot of human nature. With this unknown, your imagination gets to going because we are very imaginative. I mean, the human race has a lot of imagination. That's why we've made it as far as we have.
I mean, that's what separates us from primates.
Yeah. I mean, so it leads to all these really cool and interesting things that have happened. So I kind of get how, you know, people get to that point of like doomsday prophecy type of stuff related to something like the eclipse, because I mean, what, we have 20 years until we're going to see it again. I'm going to be a 60-year-old man the next time we have an eclipse that happens somewhere close to us.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of people, for the next 20 years, all these kids that are born are not going to have any idea what an eclipse looks like except for looking at pictures or videos, unless they travel somewhere else in the world.
That's true, man. God, I can't imagine. Oh, I want to bring up that I heard this today. And I don't know if it's true because I didn't go and confirm it, but I did see a video, and supposedly they passed the bill to ban TikTok.
What?
It's not happening until September 9th.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I have not heard that at all.
You know, I guess in the meantime, while we're going through the podcast, I might be able to look that up.
That's craziness.
Hey, I want to throw that out there, but eventually we're going to need our own Jamie. And if anybody listens to the Joe Rogan podcast, we're going to need a Jamie.
We got a spot right there.
We do have a spot.
Us. I mean,
we have a spot.
Excellent.
I got a TV. Just give us some thought. Think about it. Give me a comment. Send me us a DM. You know, slide in the DMs. Let me know.
I don't know if that means what you think it means right there, man.
Well, if any weirdos show up, I'm going to tell you to piss off. Okay, right. Don't be trying to use the slide and DM thing as a sexual reference because I don't want to do with that. I'm happily married. Go away.
Go.
You
go
know away. What Jamie is on the Joe Rogan podcast?
He's like a magician.
He's like a magician. All right.
Like I try my best whenever we're doing stuff to go through things, but I'm definitely no Jamie. All right. So we'll move on to the next topic. Subtopic thing that we're going to look at here. So we talked about the eclipse, but that is totally not it in the way of people predicting the end of the universe as we know it. Throughout our lives, there have been lots of events that have terrified people and brought about a little bit of mass hysteria, in some cases worldwide mass hysteria. Mm-hmm. So we got a couple of events that we can maybe look at and talk about there, Eric. Like a couple ones that we definitely lived through was Y2K.
Yes.
Man, that
was such a big what if. And I can remember I was playing in the band at that time, and it was so strange, man. Like there was this part of me that was like scared to death. There was also this part of me that was like, go full steam, man. Don't even worry about it. It doesn't matter. We got drunker than dogs. I mean, drunker than Cooter Brown. I don't know if I even said Cooter Brown. That's Cooter Brown's fine. I don't know. I got really drunk that night, and so did the rest of the bandmates. And one of them decided to drink too much and act like a butthole and pass out. And for whatever reason, there was just like an emotional thing going on, and I don't know what the fuck it was like. I don't know what it was. It was this. I think we were on the verge of possibly like disassembling the band, and then it kind of, I don't know. We decided to like really hammer down after that. And we did for sure. But that thing was so. We were waiting for the power to go out. You know, we were just waiting for it to all go to crap and a carnage start happening. Nah. It just flipped over to 01. We're like,
yeah. And nothing happened.
We're like, party! It didn't work.
Yeah. So for those of you who are young people out there in the world who don't know, long ago, computers were not quite as awesome as they were now. And they all, basically all dates ended with just two numbers. So like we had like the year 99. And then people were like, what's going to happen when it goes from 99 to 00? And they're like, it's going to be the end of the world. What's going to happen? What's going on? Oh, no. And nobody knew. And nobody seemed to be able to fix anything, or at least they didn't even know if they fixed it. Like computer companies would go on and they would try to patch stuff and fix things. But people were terrified that like banks were going to crash, like all your money was going to disappear. Airplanes might fall from the sky. Nuclear reactors would just shut down and like Chernobyl everywhere.
Yeah.
Is what people were expecting. Like, there was end of the world prepping for this.
And they didn't get this information from their own brains. Where did they get it from?
I don't even know where it started. I mean,
fucking news, man.
Yeah. I feel like there had to be like some scientist, somebody official who said something the first time that got the ball rolling. It can't just be like some dude in his basement says something. It's got to be somebody of some importance.
So I'm looking at the Y2K National Geographic survival plan.
Ooh.
Is what I'm video I'm watching.
Y2K survival plan.
Yep.
That's something right there.
You don't even know. That was Rob Lowe doing that.
I mean, he was around in the 90s, so that's fitting.
Y2K commercial. Anyways.
So, it was insanity. I mean, like, literally, people started, like, hoarding food, hoarding supplies, ammunition. They were ready for the end of the world to go down. And the New Year's Eve came, and, like, it was panic. Like, literally, I was in high school. My parents were like, you're not going anywhere. You are staying home tonight.
It was called,
like,
yeah.
Okay, we're just going to stay here. And the ball dropped, and like people were terrified. It seemed like the least excited I've ever seen people for New Year's.
Yeah.
And then absolutely nothing happened. Every computer just switched over, and the world was perfectly fine the next day. Like, I don't know if any bad thing came of it other than just the hysteria building up to it. And I believe, like, it built up for like a long time. It wasn't like a couple of weeks.
No.
Like it was like 95, 96, people started talking about this.
So
and then like it just got worse and worse and worse until the year 99.
The Y2K survival guide on National Geographic was in 1998.
Look at that. Trying to prepare 2 years before.
And then I'm looking at this right here. It was called the Y2K bug. Remember that? That was the deal.
Oh, the bug.
And I'm looking here, and it says that December 31st, 1999 was on a Friday. So think about that. People were going, majority of people work Monday through Friday. So that was the end of their week. And this could possibly be a catastrophe. World collapse could happen on Saturday when a lot of stuff not open. There's not a lot of resources going on. What are we going to do? You know?
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Dude, it was like, I don't even feel like I've really thought about Y2K in forever
until we started
talking about this topic. And I was like, that was insane, wasn't it? That was absolutely insanity. Like, I don't even know like, if we stocked up on food or anything. I was like,
no, we were partying.
I mean, it just happened and then it was over.
Yeah. Woo.
But technically, that's what goes with most of the apocalypse stuff is it just kind of ends there.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, it's like a massive amount. Nope, almost went to it. I'm not going to say that.
All right, then a few years later, we had another end of the world. And Y2K was pretty much worldwide, I would assume. But I'm sure lots of people who didn't have computers could have cared less about that. But then we had the Mayan calendar. 2012.
Oh, yes.
The world is coming to an end on December 21st, 2012.
And then,
which, by the way, was 12-21-2012. Just a bunch of ones and twos.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, they're like, everybody, the Mayan society stopped making their calendar on this day. Like, oh, no. And everybody thought that they stopped making it because that was the end of the world. I'm like, everybody, eventually the Mayans all died off. They had to stop making the calendar at some point in time.
Yeah, I mean.
But the world really just assumed this was it. And it was another one of those things, like, it got into media, and then radio, and then TV shows. And literally, there were documentaries, and there were, like, tons of things happening, again, years before it even took place.
That's true. 2009, November 13th, 2009, the movie 2012 was released.
I got that down. Yes.
Talk about, like,
yes,
planting a seed of complete, like, collapse in your,
like,
mind.
And that movie was awesome. That was a great end of the world. And it was like literal end of the world type of stuff. And everybody was like, well, John Cusack shows us the world's dying. So obviously this has got to be going down, right?
Yeah.
So again, people like started stockpiling. This time people went hardcore. They were like building like all out bunkers, like bomb shelter type of things. Yep. Taking in their supplies. They were like finding ways to evacuate in case like tsunamis came or like the San Andreas fault like ripped into pieces and half of the country sunk into the ground.
That San Andreas fault? No, the what's the fault that's near us?
New Madrid fault.
The New Madrid fault was brought up during the eclipse.
Was it?
Yes.
I did not see that one.
Tons of TikTok videos about massive earthquakes are going to happen on that day. You know, but I'm like,
well, see, there's another one we could talk about. We'll save that one for another one. That's the local one. We can bring somebody on to talk about that local thing
That'd be a good idea. If you guys know anybody that's a specialist on like seismographs and earthquakes, and that'd be a great,
talk about that fault, that New Madrid fault there. But like for the Mayan calendar, like I really don't, I don't remember like any worry. I was like getting ready for Christmas.
Dude, I didn't give a rip.
I'm like, with the Y2K, there was like a seed of doubt in my mind. I'm like, the computers might stop working. I don't know for sure.
Right.
But like, they stopped making a calendar. Like, somebody said that they made like 1,000 years or thousands of years of calendar and they stopped. I'm like, eventually these guys etching calendar dates eventually were like, I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We are 4,000 years in the future. I think we're fine. Can we stop for this week?
Yeah, we're fine.
And they're like, yeah, we're done. And then the Mayans all died off, and that was the calendar.
It was just something to get people riled up. Like, it was just something to get people riled up. And for people that don't know or didn't want to know, or that scares them, there's a lot to unpack there, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Like, I looked up weird stuff about the 2012 thing. I'm like, I'm not even going to justify all these weird astronomical alignments and stuff people were getting into. I'm like, everybody just go to Wikipedia and look up some of that stuff if you want to.
There. Yeah, just look up Wikipedia.
We're gonna move on past that. Like, I looked at some of the pictures. I'm like, I remember some of these crazy people talking about the apocalypse because the calendar stopped. Mm-hmm. But for that one, I didn't worry at all, as opposed to the Y2K thing, which, I mean, that could have been something.
I mean, the Y2K was definitely definitely something that we consider because computers were fairly new to us at that point.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Computers with that kind of advancement, yeah, they were new technology and lots of stuff used that technology. So that I can understand worrying about that one right there.
Yeah. So, you know, we have these events. There's a psychological impact that it has on us. And, you know, there's obviously factors that contribute to, you know, widespread fear and panic surrounding those kind of predictions. What do you think some of those things might be?
I think probably first and foremost is the fear of death and the unknown of what could happen. That's got to be it. I'm, like, with Y2K, people were worried about, you know, planes crashing, nuclear reactors going off, death. For the Mayan calendar, people were worried about, like, you know, earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis all happening. For the eclipse, people were worried about aliens or some kind of weird thing. So everybody's worried about, you know, losing their life. And just like that unknown thing that could happen. But then I think, well, some people may feel relieved because some people were like, they don't like the unknown. And they're like, oh my goodness, if this eclipse comes and it's the end of the world, then it's the end of the world for all of us at one time. And we're all even. And it's just boom, done.
We're done.
And like, I wouldn't think that way, but I believe some people were like, wow, this is it. we're all good. And then some people, like, psychologically, are like, they feel a relief to go along with that. I don't know for sure about that. But
imagine how they felt after nothing happened.
Like, I always think that, like the cult people who, like the cults who think, like, aliens are going to come for them, and then they, like, drink the Kool-Aid or something, and they're like, oh, nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
We all just drink the Kool-Aid and die.
Do you think there's a we'll get into that later, the next question. But, yeah, it definitely creates, like, a massive amount of anxiety. It didn't for me at the time, but I was so busy raising kids. Maddie was 4. I was working my butt off. I didn't give a rip. I remember having a meeting. I was like, look, the world doesn't end tomorrow. Don't call in. I don't want to hear it. Probably staying up all night getting ready for the world to end. Come in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to show up. And I was dealing with that. So I was like, not even phased. I don't remember like even being phased, but I was like, eh. I remember thinking about Y2K.
Yeah.
And thinking, nothing happened there. Eh. It's fine.
Yeah. You start to get to the point after all these things, like, maybe stuff isn't actually going to happen. But obviously, like, the media does play a role in that psychological thing. They build up people. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get views. They're trying to get people to watch and be engaged. So an easy way to get people to be engaged is for them to be terrified.
That's true.
Mean scared people are going to watch the news more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I don't watch the news a ton right now, but when there's a tornado warning, I'm finding them to watch and see what's going on.
Now, and that's, to me, I get that. That's a little different, and here's why. If there's a tornado in Oklahoma, you don't give a rip. You're not paying attention. Why? Because your local news coverage is not covering a tornado in Oklahoma.
Yep.
Only the local news coverages are covering a tornado in Oklahoma when it's happening.
Yep.
When it's here, it's because it's here, and you know it's here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This kind of stuff that we're talking about today – It's all speculation. It's what if.
Yeah, know? But for some people, it's everywhere at one time,
right.
Whereas a tornado might just be in one spot.
Right.
I mean, for this Mayan calendar, some people thought that was the entire world.
Right.
And no matter where you were at, you were affected by this. So I get what you're saying with the tornado.
You know, it's local. I get what I understand what you're saying, too. It's just you got to really – I think people don't really want to – speculate. It's so hard to kind of pinpoint a statement on this, is because there's people that are lying to you to get views and all that. There's people that actually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that don't believe it at all. But the people that are in the media, specifically the major news channels, I think journalism was still remotely okay at that point. But it's definitely shown that in the Gulf War.
To the best of our knowledge.
In the Gulf War, CNN was like literally on a green screen, on a soundstage, saying they were in Iraq, and they were not. When you look at it now, you're like, people, wow, we believe that. But why wouldn't we believe it? Because we didn't know the indifferent.
Yeah.
You know? but, you know, that kind of stuff has a social influence. I don't know how deep it goes. Do they do stuff like that to like really push certain products to be purchased, or, you know, it's kind of like the stock market. You know, people can manipulate the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
People can buy out companies and then sell the stock and let the stock drop and then let people sell their stock and then crank it back. I don't know. I'm super sketchy on the stock market, but I've heard stories where people can manipulate it.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the difference between that, you know? I don't know. And if anybody's out there listening, correct me. You know, I don't want to get too deep in the stock market, but I'm just saying, you know, it's manipulated and it's coerced into producing a certain outcome for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cool stuff. Yep.
I think a lot of people are also like really impacted by the fact that you have peer pressure. Like a lot of people are like, why don't you believe in Y2K?
Yeah.
There are people who say this is going to happen. I mean, there are technology people who are like, it's going to happen. These computers are going to crash. You better believe what they're going to say. And I mean, if you have enough people saying that, then you're like, I guess I should believe what they're telling me at this point in time, because you just keep getting bombarded with it. Believe this. Listen to this.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't believe this? I mean, are you saying that you know more than the scientist?
Yeah. They are a scientist. So I think that really can, I mean, that can really mess with people's, especially like obviously younger people in their teens and 20s. I mean, they're like, well, I have to believe this now, right? I mean,
I think the quote is, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it.
It says it's pretty much on point right there. Mm-hmm. 100%.
So this is a phenomenon pervasive in contemporary politics, advertising, and social media. Is known in cognitive psychology as the illusionary truth effect. So what you're saying is you just lie long enough for people to believe it.
Yep. I guess if you convince yourself of it, then it's even more impressive.
That's pretty interesting stuff that you can convince yourself of those things. And it's because you trust and believe. So I think we did a podcast on belief, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think. We did a podcast on belief. And you really got to think about how powerful belief is. So it's pretty crazy.
I mean, the power of belief affects, I would say, every single person on the planet. Everybody believes in something.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just wild. And you could, I think that was rubbing up against that. I could, every once in a while, I could hear it shake. It's just wild of how powerful belief is, because mm-hmm. belief drives these phenomenons that we're talking about today.
Absolutely.
You know,
if nobody believed that aliens were coming with the eclipse, then it wouldn't have even been a news story, no. Let alone on YouTube videos and TikToks and everything about aliens coming down.
Yeah. And yet again, we like it. We like the what if, what could be.
Yeah.
You know, we like to dream.
Yeah. I think it breaks up the mundane things of life.
Yeah, mundane, yeah.
I tried to make it into more of a word than what it was.
That's right. I mean, I do it all the time. Speculation's another word that comes to mind.
So anything else with the psychological impact there, man?
I think we've covered quite a bit, man.
All right. So let's continue talking about the media there. Looking at the media, well, we talked about like a lot of the news and everything, but we can talk about pop culture there as well. How does pop culture and media shape public perceptions of these doomsday scenarios, Eric?
The media, popular culture, and all that plays a role in shaping public perceptions. And like we said, if you can convince everybody enough to believe that there's a doomsday scenario coming in by, you know, Okay. If you can convince enough people with doomsday scenarios by sensationalizing events, then enough people, and you're constantly promoting conspiracy theories and the what if, and you're framing narratives in ways that capitalize on fear and uncertainty, then people are going to get drawn in. And most people definitely before 2020, but pre-COVID days, people were just trying to live and work and support their family and go do their thing, mm-hmm. you know, and not everybody, but most people, middle class, typically were just trying to go work and live their life and raise their kids to be good people. And that's it. Anything else that started to interfere with that rocked the boat. And that stuff scared the crap out of them a lot of times, or forced them to say, wait, whoa, I'm not prepared for that. Hold on. Let's reevaluate. You know, and you can't live in that state of what if and fear, because my opinion, and you can say it causes disease. It causes if you're constantly worrying about things and what if, it leads to sin and evil doing. It really leads to like health problems and chronic inflammation. So then you're off on issues.
Yep.
Which could be a whole system at play there that we don't really talk about right now, but could be a whole system at play there that we're not really aware of. And if that's true, it's pretty diabolical.
That is.
Yeah. It's pretty diabolical. But, you know, movies, books, television shows, like, The day the day the Earth stood still? The day the Earth stood still? Is that, do you remember that, where Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it was basically there was a radio program, okay, a radio show, and this was back, I think, in the 40s, and basically they acted as if there was an alien invasion happening.
Ooh, I got that.
And nobody knew it was fake.
Yeah.
Like, people were freaking out.
I mean, it was the War of the Worlds.
Was it War of the Worlds? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And was it the Mercury Theater? And it was Orson Welles. He was like the lead actor there, and they were acting out H.G. Welles' book.
Okay.
And they were, instead of just reading the book, they acted like it was a radio broadcast, and they were the broadcasters. And they were talking about, like, aliens landing in New Jersey and invading. And they didn't tell anybody that it was just theater. And then the next morning they woke up and Mr. Wells' face was on newspapers across the country because literally people panicked and freaked out because it was, I think it was in 1938. I believe that was the year.
That's intense, man.
Like, so, I mean, you have newspapers and radio. That's pretty much what you have at that point in time. And literally people all across the country were panicking. People were calling the police, not knowing what to do. The police not knowing what to do at this point in time. People started, obviously probably getting their cars, trying to drive to get away from something, especially if you lived over on the East Coast near New Jersey. You're like, well, there are aliens attacking people here. And you have no other response. The radio has told you this, and it sounds like it's a news broadcast. That's how you got most of your news, unless it was from a newspaper. It was the news broadcast over the radio at that point in time. So there was mass hysteria happening with that.
I mean, I would say I was born way later than that. But I think of Christmas Story and when he's listening to Little Orphan Annie.
Yes.
And that whole deal, right? And
yes, indeed.
And, you know, I think about, like, people didn't know any different. No. And
you just assume to believe what was on the radio to be truth. Like, here looking it up, it said people were fleeing their homes. They were seeking shelter, trying to call for help. There were people were stampeded. People were killing themselves because they didn't want the aliens to try and attack them. And after this happened, like, literally the government started having debates like, maybe we need to have some censorship over radio broadcasts so that people are not panicking there. I'm like, well, this might be a good time for a little bit of censorship. I don't like censorship, but maybe like, hey, everyone, what I'm about to say is all fictional. Have a wonderful day.
It's not real.
And then periodically, every few minutes, continue to say that for people that are just tuning in so that nobody panics and freaks out.
That's what I was to say. I mean, you could say at the beginning, but if you're like 20 minutes in, then and somebody kind of just joined you at the, the 18-minute mark, you know?
Periodic stops every once in a while to tell everybody. And obviously, props to the Mercury Theater. They must have been on point with their theatrics because the entire country believed exactly what was going on there.
It's just wild to think that. And you can actually find this. So I guess people didn't know what that was. And because there's obviously music there. Interesting.
I wonder if they made it sound like all the other news broadcasts. I mean, obviously, we don't listen to a lot of 1930s radio broadcasts to understand.
Let's check it out. Let's see what we got. I mean,
Wow.
because Mars happens to be at the point nearest the Earth in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, President?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips. Although...
I mean, it sounds like they're interviewing a scientist or something there.
Okay, that's pretty crazy. Okay,
I mean, at the beginning there, obviously it sounded more like a like just a radio broadcast of like just, you know, people talking. But those middle parts, that sound like, I mean,
sounds like something's happening.
That's something's happening right there. And yeah. Just imagine, you know, we have hindsight. We know that it was not real. All right. I mean, if you're in the 1930s there and you hear that, like you're listening to some scientists talk about a humming noise coming from some metal object. You're like, what?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Whoa, what do you say? You know,
I can see people like running to their neighbors asking what in the world's going on.
I mean, yeah, and then it's like a game of telephone. Your neighbor, yes, that you're asking, then, he's only caught the last 10
minutes.
Like,
well, Jimmy down the street said this happened about 25 minutes ago. And you're like, yeah, what?
They're saying there's aliens in New Jersey. Like, what?
Yeah.
For real?
I can see mass hysteria going everywhere throughout the entire country with that.
You call the police. That's all you could call. Yeah. Call authorities.
But I mean, even like the local police, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking like Andy Griffith type of stuff. I mean, yeah. What is Barney Fife going to know what's going on for the War of the Worlds happening over there? I don't know, man. So obviously, that's some mass hysteria happening.
That right should be there. A lesson to all of us of how the media can be so influential to shaping the public perceptions, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if Orson Welles, I wonder if he like became super famous or infamous for this, if people like hated him for that, or if people are like, well, that was a great job. You made us all believe that.
Said he died in 85.
Wow.
There's an interview with him 8 days before his death.
Well, that's pretty cool. Like I really want to learn more about this. Like, I remember, like, I knew that this was a thing that happened, but I was like, I need to know more about this. Oh, and this The War of the Worlds is an excellent book. I remember reading it when I was in high school.
Yeah. Is that the one with, did they remake that with Brad Pitt?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, it was Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise was in it. It was in like the 90s.
World War Z was that was.
That was a zombie one.
That was, yeah.
Also, you know, apocalypse type of thing, but that's for the zombies. We could do a whole show on zombies sometime if we really feel the urge.
Has there been any Simpsons predictions on this one, I wonder?
For?
I mean, I don't know. I guess they didn't cover the War of the Worlds. I see it right here.
I mean, but I feel like the Simpsons can pretty much predict everything that's happening there.
Yeah, man, that whole deal is really weird.
I mean, once or twice you just call it a coincidence, but I'm like, how many times are they going to be right about stuff?
I think it's like either Project Looking Glass or Project Bluebeam. I think it's Project Looking Glass is supposed to be a secret government program about time travel.
And they just decide to give us tidbits through The Simpsons or something?
Maybe so.
Like, here you go, guys. You can look through all of these things. I think that's why The Simpsons hasn't gone off the air, because they just want to keep running these episodes. And like 20 years from now, people can watch episodes from like now and be like, look at that craziness that happening right there.
I mean, sometimes it's a little scary, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's another whole episode right there. We can talk about The Simpsons and all their crazy stuff.
That is a good one. Have you heard the story about the book about Trump, Baron Trump, time traveler? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I don't want to butcher it, but basically there's a book about, it's called The Last President, and it's got the character in it. It's called Baron Trump, and his dad was like super rich, and they think the conspiracy world says it's a time traveler, that Trump is a time traveler, or somebody in his family is a time traveler. Supposedly, Nikola Tesla's stuff that was seized was given to Trump's uncle, great uncle.
Okay.
Who knows, man? I don't know. But
that sounds like an excellent rabbit hole to go down.
It's a
that sounds really interesting, man.
It is very interesting. Well, if anybody knows about that, they can more welcome to share what they know about it.
Oh, so many rabbit holes to go down.
There is
so many.
So we'll see. We've covered, you know, the historical perspective, the psychological impact, the media influence. You got anything on the media influence you want to add?
I don't know. There are lots of movies that I have seen that pop into my head about apocalypse, end of the world stuff. Like obviously 2012, and like the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Meteor is going to come and wipe out the entire world. I mean, obviously, you know,
who's going to go save. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that would go and die to go and, you know, destroy it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be immortalized forever. You save the entire planet. You are officially got statues everywhere.
You're in there.
You're good to go. There's a newer movie, man, called Knock at the Cabin.
Oh,
have you heard
gosh.
Of this?
No.
Oh, man.
I hate movies that are in the woods.
Oh, well, I mean, it's kind of like end of the world type of stuff. It's got
Dave wrestler.
Bautista yeah. in it. It's got Drax in it.
Okay.
Like I watched it. I was like, I don't know about this. It is so good.
Really?
Dude, you need to watch it.
I'll watch it.
It is. It's weird. Like, I don't want to spoil
it. It's not. Is it scary? Scary or
it is not like scary like that. Like there are some. There's like a few like, you know, violent things, but they don't really show everything. Like Emma watched it, and she's not a huge fan of like terrifying things. If it was super scary, she would stop watching it.
I don't like the voodoo type of ghouly ghost type of stuff.
No, I think you would like it, man. It's kind of up the alley of this, right? That's why it popped into my head as something. I don't want to say anything because it's a newer movie.
Yeah, well,
like I don't mind spoiling movies from like 30 years ago.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, then
like that's on you. But that movie came out like 2 years ago or something like that. I don't want to spoil anything for that.
Okay, all right. Well, so the next area here is you know, a societal response. You know, what are some examples of like mass hysteria triggered by apocalyptic events, and how have communities reacted?
Well, I'll be honest, a lot for this topic. I talked about the War of the Worlds thing right there.
Okay, my bad. Stole your thunder on
that's
that.
That's okay, man. That's okay. Because, you know, like, what did society do for this? And honestly, they panicked, and even the authorities didn't know what to do. I'm sure they talked to mayors and governors. I mean, the governor of Mississippi in 1938 didn't have any idea what was going on, I'm sure, either. I'm sure the president of the United States was getting tons of calls, and all of, you know, his secretary of defense was probably like, Mr. President, I have no idea what is going on right now. So,
is this true? Do we have any intel on this? Like, no.
I think this, like, really, this is probably one of the larger scale mass hysteria things that took a long time to. I mean, this happened like for all night. That whole night, people were panicking until the next morning when I'm sure more radio broadcasts popped up that said, "Hey, this is not real," and the newspaper said, "No, this was not a real thing. This was like a group of actors doing stuff."
Yeah.
So, like, the eclipse was like 2.5 minutes of panicking, and you know, building up to Y2K was just the buildup. But for this broadcast, this was a whole night of people thinking that aliens were attacking the country.
This dude, in today's culture, would have been put in prison for that.
Probably.
Because I was just seeing a video of Orson Welles the guy that apologizes. He's sorry. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him, but in today's culture, he'd probably be put in prison.
He probably would. I mean, people would probably try to kill him to, you know. There's no telling what kind of hysteria would happen today. And then people would have, like, all the technology to be able to, you know, give the CGI and everything. They could use AI to help give them backdrops and stuff to make it look like it was the real deal. This was just people reading a script and having like random stuff for side effects. And it.
So I have this theory that I think it's going to happen one day. And this is very conspiracy theory wormhole. I don't have the theory, but I believe this. I believe it can happen. I do believe in Hollywood being full of pedophiles. I do believe that there is some sort of probably satanic ritual type of cult thing going on there. Because, and not everybody's involved with it, but I think there's a lot of people involved with it. I believe that there's tons of evil in Hollywood and like music industries and all the deal. I think there's tons of it in there. But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if this was true, that a part of this culture that's in this cult, that they have to be hidden in plain sight. It's kind of an initiation factor. You have to let people know what you're doing without them truly believing what you're doing. And if you kind of look at movies, this happens a lot. Okay. But let's look at Spider-Man Far From Home. Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal's character. I think that's that movie where he's the Mysterio.
Yep.
So he convinces the public with drones that have images plastered out on the sky. And there's a team of seismograph people that create earthquakes, and there's pyrotechnics, and all of this is one team. And it's used with Jarvis computer that they want to be as good as Jarvis. That's why they steal the glasses from Peter, or convince him to give them to him. But they fake people out. And I think one day, have you not seen the drone, the July 4th fireworks drones?
The non-firework fireworks.
Yeah,
things.
The ones.
Oh my gosh.
They paint images in the sky.
They are elaborate.
That's like just a little taste of what's out
there.
You're
saying that's only been happening for like a couple of years now.
So can they do that with alien invasions? You know, can they do that with and convince people that things are happening? I don't know. I'm just hypothetically thinking. I wouldn't be surprised if that's legit, if that's technology is possible.
I mean, there's lots of times that Hollywood puts out movies and stuff, and then stuff happens to go along with that.
Interesting, you know.
I'm not usually a rabbit hole goer there, man, but yeah, that's one of those things. Like, that could be a thing. Also, I'm super impressed by you talking all about the nerdiness of Spider-Man and things. I'm like, look at that. Welcome to my world, Eric.
I do like the Marvel movies and the Spider-Man. I love all those. Those are very good. I've watched them many, many times.
Excellent.
But I had this, I think it was, I mean, it was like probably 2013. And I remember I was sitting at the house we were in at the time. It was a spring day. The windows were open. Wind was blowing in. And I was watching these videos of people saying the second coming of Christ was happening in Brazil. Like then, right then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just like a holograph, or just, it was basically just video that was, they manipulated. Of, you know, him. But there's been videos of that since. You can kind of look it up, the people of these things in the sky, of people in the sky, like just sitting in there. Like, I mean, granted, with the technology that we have on our cell phones, it's probably been edited and viewed that way. But I had this thought that day. I thought, I wonder, because we at the time, they were making movies that looked so real. They were like, stuff was coming out. When did the Marvel movies come out?
Oh, the mid 2000s or so.
I think that was like, the time when the guy. Did you remember the guy that started making YouTube videos, and he could like jump? He would like be sitting by a car, and a car would come by, and he'd jump, and he'd edit the video so smoothly where he'd jump in the car, or he would disappear. Remember him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was watching some of his videos, and I thought, I wonder if one day we'll be able to possess the technology to put a holographic image in the sky and convince people that this is happening. I remember calling my pastor at the time, or my youth pastor, which is now, he's a pastor at another church. But I said, do you think that's possible? He's like, no, no. He's like, are you watching YouTube? I'm like, yeah. He's like, put it down. But no, I don't think so. I was like, why don't you think so? And he goes, well, It says in the Bible that everybody will see Jesus coming. Everybody. The whole world will see him coming in the clouds. I don't know that that's possible. If you could see something that's happening in Brazil from here, I'm like, that's a good point. But at a local level, you know, like Mysterio used that to control the public, scare them into doing what they needed to do. So, I don't know. Could be nothing wrong. Could be nothing related to that. It could be me just, you know, having an imaginary mind, like, you know, having a visible friend when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Eh.
You know. Man. But, yeah, I mean, you really never know. Like, I don't know if I'll ever really, like, looking at the old UFO footage and stuff like that, I'm like, wow. But if something like that happened today, would you even believe anything that you see anymore? Like, you have to have, like, experts analyze video to see if it's been doctored or not at this point in time.
Okay. So let's just talk about real fast. The government downplay on alien spacecraft for years.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then Sci-Fi Channel and Bob Lazar, and all those people that come forth, and that people said they've been invaded, or they've been
they have worked on, analyzed these ships.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want people to put in perspective, especially people that were born in the 90s and or born in 2000s. Just you got to really think about this. The government has denied alien spacecraft was real. And just recently, in the past couple years, now they're saying it's real.
Yeah.
So let's just stop and pump the brakes for a second and think, wait a minute. You've called people psycho and made a statement, a unified statement, as if you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. This is not real. And now all of a sudden we're admitting, we've come out with real footage of unidentified flying objects. That opens up a door of whoa, whoa, ho.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some of this stuff
you're going to lie about that, then what else are you lying about?
Well, that too. Exactly. That also says, what about all these people with all these accounts? They don't sound too crazy anymore.
Yeah. Like, you made fun of them back then, but and now you're like, what? They were telling the truth, huh? And maybe the most disturbing thing is when the government was like, yeah, this might be a real thing. These are real things. Like, nobody cares. Yeah. Like, nobody talks about it.
I know. Nobody's like, nah, that's cool. Yeah.
It's like they waited until, like, nobody would care. And they're like, oh, guys, aliens are real. And then they just. So anyway, back to your TikTok now. Go watch that video real quick. Like,
I think.
Aliens are real? What are you talking about? What?
Have you seen. I think there is a process that's happening that it's a conditioning process. Like, when you get so used to seeing movies that look so real, in video games that look so real, and you see crazy stuff like that happen all the time, it conditions your mind to think that it's normal. So we're like, yeah, that's cool. Aliens are real. No, duh, you know. Or yeah, like,
of course they are, man. Like, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy. Aliens are totally real. Talking trees and raccoons. They're amazing.
100%. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But
then you're like, wait. If I'm not looking at a screen, if I'm just outside and I see something fly around that's not an airplane or a helicopter, that's an alien. And what? But we're all just supposed to be okay with it now, which that bothered me a whole lot whenever it came out. And then it's just like, whatever. Aliens. Yeah. Okay.
And there, it's like a first-person shooter game that's coming out here. It's called Unrecord. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a first-person shooter game called Unrecord, I think.
Unrecord.
Oh, yeah. Dude, go watch it.
Hold on. Come on, YouTube. Come on, ad.
It's going to blow your mind.
That can't be a video game.
Unrecord is a single-player FPS that tells the story of a tactical police officer from the perspective of his body cam.
Oh, my gosh! Okay, that has to be a real person.
The release date is to be announced.
Whoa.
Now, let's just put that into a real video game, and let's put that into VR.
I would not be a bit surprised if this is not a VR game.
Could you imagine like a horror game? That would I think it'd give people freaking strokes, man.
Well,
of how realistic it looks.
Dude, man. It would. Like, I love video games, and I don't even play horror games because they freak me out.
Yeah.
I'm not even afraid of, like, scary movies or anything, but it's like being there in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's just craziness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that's a conditioning aspect. You know, when you start seeing stuff like that, I don't know. Maybe it might affect your reality. But getting back into like the societal response, I was looking here in my notes, and do you remember the panic surrounding the Hale-Bopp comet in 1997?
The Hale-Bopp comet.
I don't remember that.
I know the comet, but I don't know what it would have been. What?
There was also, remember I remember this one, the alignment of the planets in the year 2000.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Communities have reacted to those events by varying degrees of alarm, with such individuals stockpiling supplies, seeking shelter, or even relocating to remote areas in anticipation of disaster. I mean, there are people that have homes and disaster, bunkers and missile silos.
Well, yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Eventually, something's going to go wrong, and then they're going to be like, we were right!
Yeah.
We were right! I'm like, but bro, you...
It took 50 years.
You had to be wrong like 47 times to be right eventually. Right. I mean, what's the saying? You
couldn't... Even a blind squirrel gets a nut, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A broken clock is right twice a day.
Come on, son. I like it. Yes. That's good. You got any examples of the apocalyptic events other than what we've already talked about?
Oh man, I think I'm tapped out of apocalyptic events. I didn't know how many to go into and how many things to research. I was afraid we would like all be talking over each other of all the cool stuff that we found there.
That's a good point.
Well, I guess we can move on if you don't have any more there, man.
I'm tapped out.
All right. So we've talked about all these terrible events that could happen and all the insanity that can go along with them. But now, how do people deal with this? How can people cope with this problem? So how can individuals, how can communities mitigate the effects of mass hysteria and maintain rational thinking during these times? I mean, not everybody can't possibly freak out about this situation. Some people have to keep that calm to, you know, keep rational thinking happening there. So what are some things that people can do to cope with that, Eric?
The first thing I would say is critical thinking.
That's number two on my list.
That's number two, man. Number two. I mean, that's definitely the priority. Number one is, let's just stop for a second and critically think about what's happening. Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah. Everybody, let's sit and think about an eclipse is happening. Scientifically, an eclipse happens when the moon moves in the path between the Earth and the sun. Mm-hmm. If we orbit the sun and the moon orbits us, there is going to be a few instances where at some point in the world, the moon is going to pass in front of the sun. It's a scientifically proven fact. And it has happened, obviously, for millions of years. As long as the moon has been hanging around, it has happened to some places. I mean, a T-Rex was munching on a Triceratops and looked up and be like, why in the world is the sun going away? He would think with his pea brain while he was eating his dinosaur meal.
There's just so much deception in the world right now, because, you know, in my notes I had, you know, fact checking. Well, fact checking has an unbelievable bad aura with it now, because due to social media, the fact checkers are usually now that term's associated with people trying to suppress the truth. We've seen that during the election, and obviously we've seen that with the podcast, where the podcast episodes have been literally taken down, or they've been suppressed, and we can't advertise for them. We haven't had it on YouTube yet because we're just kind of getting rolling on YouTube, but they haven't been taken off of Spotify or Apple. But when we advertise on TikTok or Facebook, there's been plenty of those advertisements with either advertised moments in the podcast, or we just the thumbnails, they're taken down for no reason whatsoever. The electric car one got taken down twice, and I've had to put it back each time. And, you know, seeking reputable sources, that's really hard. Like, when you got people on TikTok saying there's no moon, that's why it's actually not the moon that's covering the sun. It's fucking Death Star or something. I mean, it's something they don't think there's a moon.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Out of all things, I feel that the moon is actually there. I mean, there may be some things out there that aren't real. I'm going to go with the moon is actually there. I've never been into space myself personally, but I'm going to feel confident just like the sun is there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too far. I mean, I believe the sun is real. Okay. I believe the moon is real. Okay. The sun heats us. I mean, what are you talking about, people? But there are some things that happen that throw your brain for a whack, and it gets people thinking and believing the most stupidest crap ever. I don't know how many of you guys look at chemtrails or condensation trails or going down that wormhole, but there's definitely something they're spraying in the sky every day, almost every day. And it's sprayed in a grid pattern. Don't know what it is, but I see it with my own freaking eyes. Okay. And the condensation trail goes away. These do not. They stay in the sky. I don't know what they are. I could say they're chemtrails, and I don't want to go too far down that wormhole, but there's something they're spraying in the freaking sky, and I don't know what it is. A condensation trail does not stay around for 4 or 5 hours. No.
Okay, I'm going to start looking at the sky now.
According to Google, it does, but there's three different types of condensation trails. But anyways, let's not go down that worm one right now. We could talk about chemtrails on another
episode. My goodness. We're going to have to go back and re-listen to all these ideas we have going on, man.
For sure.
There's so many more episodes we can discuss. Oh, my gosh.
For sure. I don't believe hardly anything anymore. So that's unfortunate, because I was talking about chemtrails during the eclipse. And there's a customer there. And not seemed like a nice guy. He really did. He was a nice guy. And he kind of overheard, because I was kind of giving him, I was like, what is this? And there was just enough cloud cover around the sun. There was nothing. Anyways, I sound like a psycho right now, but
you're not, man. You're good.
Anyways, he said, hey, I can overhear you talking. There's actually three different types of condensation trails. And I looked over, I was like, oh, it's from Google. I was like, look, man, I appreciate you. And you're probably right. But there is not a dang thing I'm believing from Google. Google has invented an RFID pill for you to take to convert your body into an RFID chip. Talked about it about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago now. I don't know. I'm not going to believe anything they say. I'm not. So it's a free country right now still. I'm open to my opinion, and I don't believe that. I don't trust. They suppress information. Whatever they're suppressing, I don't know. But
whatever they don't like.
Whatever they don't like. Whatever doesn't fit, whatever needs to be. Anyways. So, Shannon, what do you got on this last one here, man?
All right. So, if you want to maintain rationality at this point in time, you don't just go and watch your favorite YouTuber and listen to what they say. You go to several sources to get information. I mean, as much as we can't sometimes trust what we hear in all the media, I mean, listen to the radio, look at the news, go to multiple places online to try and see and t- take all of their information and try to come to a rational conclusion based upon several credible sources. Now, I know it's hard to find credible sources necessarily, but if you go to several different things that you are used to believing, you can, we have that ability for critical thinking, like Eric said, use that information to come up with a hopefully rational answer to the situation and take in the eclipse and enjoy it as the scientific phenomenon that it is.
Yeah.
If something like Y2K comes along, don't just automatically think it's the end of the universe. Think rationally about that situation. Look at how computers have advanced and the fact that they may not all just crash randomly because of two numbers turning into two other numbers. You can even talk to people around you. Talk to your friends about this situation and add their input into everything that you hear. So just lots of sources of information. Bring that in. That's the best way we learn as humans, is we get our information from multiple sources. You can't just say, all right, I'm sitting and I'm listening to Fox News and everything they say is going to be gospel truth. Mm-hmm. Can't say CNN tells me everything and that's perfect right there. No, I mean, if you want to listen to a couple of them, then go for it. Now, if CNN and Fox News both agree on something, then it might be somewhat truthful because they usually don't like each other at all. And mm-hmm. if they both say it, maybe that's a real thing. And then you can build on from that right there. But you can also take all of this insanity that goes along with hysteria and use it practically. Maybe talk with your family and discuss how to prepare for if a disaster actually happens. Mm-hmm. Because there are disasters that do occur. Could there be an earthquake that happens that affects Western Kentucky? Yeah, there very well could. I mean, we had an earthquake on the day of the eclipse that happened in New York.
Yeah.
They are not used to earthquakes in New York City. And even though it wasn't like a 9 point something, I mean, it was like almost a 5. It was like a 4.7, which is really strong, especially for buildings that are not made to withstand an earthquake.
Watching the videos of the buildings shaking?
Yeah.
Scary.
That's scary. Luckily, they are made to survive high winds to hit them, so they have a little bit of give. But they're not like the buildings in California, because those are made to withstand earthquakes.
There was just a big earthquake. Where was it at right before, a couple days before the eclipse? It wasn't in America. It was a big one.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember.
But buildings collapsed.
Yeah.
Taiwan.
So there you go.
Yeah. It was in Taiwan.
So we take this, you know, the eclipse craziness or something like that, and talk about what should we do? If we were trying to evacuate Paducah, what would we do? Because that's an excellent question. For me to get from downtown to the mall area took almost 45 minutes on the day of the eclipse because traffic was backed up. So if we have that problem, we need to map out a better way using side roads to get out of the area. I was like, all right, I need to figure out a way to get places using only side roads, because the main road was a terrible idea. I should have thought better than that right there.
Yeah, I think – you know, as somebody that's dealt with anxiety for many years, it usually happens and is comes out of the soil of future events that you can't control, mm-hmm. or you're not prepared for. And something interesting to think about when it comes to anxiety is that your brain doesn't know the difference between emotions that you are causing from your thought or the event actually happening. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
So the quickest way to relieve anxiety that I've seen is to take action, is to start preparing, mm-hmm. start doing things to start preparing towards something like that. Give it some thought. I mean, if an earthquake was to, I mean, if the, you know, New Madrid fault was to go ballistic and separate, you know, I'm not ready for that. And you know what? I mean, all I can do is, you know, if I have water collection and I've got food storage and whatnot, then I got hunting tools, you know.
Yeah.
Then I just have to wait it out and figure it out. I mean, there are people that are going in depth, you know, to that, and that's fine. If you want to go that route, they give you some self-comfort. then fine.
Yeah. But I mean, you don't have to go that extreme. You can just have like a disaster preparedness kit that has like a few meals in it, bottles of water, flashlights, some basic first aid type of things. Just have that in a place that you can get to quickly. Cause I mean, earthquake is not on the high on the list, but a tornado. Tornadoes happen in Western Kentucky quite a bit. Flooding. We've talked about Paducah flooding. We are right beside the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers.
Right.
We are very prone to flooding happening. So we can use types of things that may not necessarily happen to give us the inspiration to get us moving and motivated to maybe prepare for actual things that could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's popped into my head.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's right on the mark, man. It's right on the mark. There was a quote that Jim Rohn gave one time, or it was a story he gave, and he's talking about the future, and he was being interviewed, or he was speaking for like Procter & Gamble or something like that. And they said, you know, you're influential. You plan in the future. They were basically saying you can predict and see into the future. What do you think next year is going to be like? He's like, about the same as it is this year. I mean, we've been, you know, he was a new earth believer. He believed that the world was only about 6,000 years old. And he was like, not much has changed. There's going to be a fall. There's going to be, you know, a winter. It's going to be a spring. There's going to be a summer. You know, I can't change the seasons.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't make it. So, probably about the same as it's always been. And granted, that's just have a really optimistic outlook on things, and that not much is going to be different as a whole. But we could be reaching something different. You know, this year is going to be interesting. I think the United States is going to maybe see things that they haven't seen in a long time, or they've seen recently reappear again. I don't know. Who knows? We're so divided, it's not even funny.
That's the sad part.
Yeah.
I don't like the division. I mean, defeats the purpose of the United States.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fun to. I mean, it's not fun. Sometimes it's fun to talk against things and disagree with people, as long as you truly do disagree with it, not don't do it just for fun. But at the end of the day, we just need to take care of people. You know.
Yeah,
we need to take care of each other. I think that'll solve a lot of problems. Everybody's trying to do the same thing. There is evil in the world, though. So. Can't forget that. We got to protect yourself, and you got to pay attention. But overall, I think we just need to just love each other. Let's work on loving each other.
Got to make it easy, man.
Oh, my gosh.
World peace right there, come man. On. Wishing for some world peace.
Yep. But, man, we've went a long time. If you're still here with us, this is a pretty lengthy one. This might be one of the longest ones we've done. We're about an hour 25 minutes in.
Woohoo!
And that
is a great discussion. Rather, I feel good. I feel good.
We're definitely, definitely good, man. Definitely good. We want to remind everybody that we have a option now to support the show. We are working and developing subscription tiers that'll have some extra stuff that you can get that you are not getting now. And we'll hold off on reviewing that until the time is right. But right now, we have an option to support the show for just $3 a month. And you might be asking, well, what does that $3 do? Well, $3 is going to help buy equipment. It's going to help maybe get some guests on that require maybe some payment. And it kind of helps keep the lights on at the Within Earshot podcast.
Yeah. Might give you the option to see our pretty faces again there.
That is true. So if you want to know where that support the show link is on every episode, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify or any other streaming site, in the description of each episode, below the description, there is a link that says support the show. So click on that. That'll take you to a website where you can select your donation. And I would advise just do $3. And enter your credit card information, and we're off to the races. And if you do decide to sponsor us, we'll shout out, give you a shout out on each podcast, and just let everybody know who is a part of the With an Earshot team. So, Shannon, where can they find us on the interwebs?
All right, guys. We're in so many places right now. You can find us on Facebook at Within Earshot. Find us on Instagram at Within Earshot Podcast. We're even kind of sort of on Twitter X a little bit, at Within Earshot 1. And for right now, apparently, we're still on TikTok as long as it's going to hang around until past September, at the dot within dot E-A-R-S-H-O, no T, because it wouldn't fit. And you can find us on the Buzzsprout website at withinearshotpodcast.buzzsprout.com.
It's in the game. Well, we don't have Kyle here, so there's no Kyleism.
I got nothing, man. Like, really, I need to find me some things to say to fill in. I don't know if a Shannonism is quite as good as a Kyleism, though.
That's fair. I'll leave you something. I think the last one we talked about aliens, you know, or on the moon landing or whatever. That was just to be a spoof, to be silly. But
man, we've been talking about the moon a lot.
We have been, man. The moon landing would be a good one to get involved with. But I'd say we just leave with everybody. Just love each other. Just love each other.
Show some love out there. Be kind to one another.
All right. We'll catch you on the next episode.